here. Okay, actually, I only have a few words to say, beginning with thanking you all as representatives of the physics community for all of the support that you've given. Special thanks, of course, to the directors who are here, Ken Ford, and Mark Brodsky, and Fred Dilla, who have given really extraordinary support to the History Center. And I'm not quite sure why, but this is something that I've been thinking about, is why have the physicists of all the sciences, indeed of all communities, given so much support to create this quite unique institution? And when I think of that, first I go back to the senior seminar that I took when I was an undergraduate at Cornell. The senior seminar was normally given to seniors to investigate some special topic in physics. And the year I was there, it was given by Phil Morrison, and he chose to give it in the history of physics. And he assigned us, each one of us was to take some group. Could be Lawrence's group at Berkeley or Sommerfeld's in Munich. I took Fermi's group in Rome. And we wrote up a little historical paper on it, which was, in fact, the first history of science paper that I ever wrote. And why did Phil Morrison do this? Well, one reason, I think, was he wanted us to get past this great man theory of physics and understand the actual social circumstances in which physics took place. But then why did he use history to do that? And it gives me to think about the generation of physicists that Jerry has spoken of so eloquently, who were responsible for the founding of the History Center. And these were, after all, people who were acutely aware that they had themselves lived in great historic times. They had grown up with the onset of relativity. They themselves took part in the quantum physics revolution, the coming of nuclear physics, and, of course, nuclear weapons and nuclear power. So they felt acutely the impact of history and their impact on history. And that is certainly one reason, but that's not a sufficient explanation because, after all, the support for the for history from the physics community has continued down to the young people in our present day who are no longer part of that generation that felt itself to be and knew itself to be so historical. So what are the other reasons? Well, one of them is one that Jerry also alluded to when he told his story about the Smithsonian and some of these other things, which is the feeling among physicists that science has not gotten the attention and the respect that it deserves, both in the education of young people and in the public mind. But of course, this would apply to lots of other fields, in particular to other fields in the sciences, the biologists and so forth, and the chemists and whatnot, who, while they may support some history, have never supported in proportion to their numbers and wealth to the extent that the physics community has supported it. So I have to think of other reasons, and in fact, in the course of raising money, we went around and we asked people who are our good friends, why do you support history? And the usual answer we got is, I don't know, history is a good thing, isn't it? And as simple as that. So what lies behind this? Why is history a good thing to physicists in particular? Well, I think, again, it's something that Jerry referred to, which is the physicist's love of culture. We see it here at the American Center for Physics, which has always put up art exhibits of various kinds, photographs now, often paintings. Wherever you go and find physicists, you will find a deep understanding of culture. When I was briefly working as a graduate student in the physics lab at Wesleyan in Connecticut, the major project underway in the physics machine shop there was a harpsichord. So physicists have always had an affinity for literature, for arts, for music. But why history then? Why history? And history, of course, is one of the arts. Nobody who can't write well can be called a good historian. But it's unique among the arts because it has a dedication to being truthful. Now, you can ask, and people have asked, and people long debate what it means to be truthful in physics and to be truthful in history. But one thing is very clear, and that is that if a historian were to manipulate and fake his data, he'd be in the same situation as a physicist who manipulated and faked his data. That is, his career would be over as soon as it was discovered, and it would be discovered. This is entirely different from other areas of the arts and culture. A novelist, even a historical novelist, can make up anything he wants and get away with it. And I think this commitment to truth is something which is deeply embedded in the physics community, and I think they recognize this in the history community. And that perhaps is one of the most profound reasons why this enterprise that's now been going on for 50 years is certainly well primed to go on for another 50 years, if not indeed for 500. Thank you.